Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. This week we make our annual pilgrimage to the Green Man Festival in the Welsh Brecon Beacons. I'm handing over the reins to producer Holly Fisher, who's enjoying all the music and mayhem of the event over the last weekend, but not without waving her microphone around to speak to some of the people who've made the festival what it is over the years. As Green Man turns 15, we meet some of the musicians who've played every show and talk to the people who keep on returning year after year. What is the lure of this party in the hills of South Wales that we just can't resist? Find out on Culture without me, Robert Bound.
We all have still that wonder of seeing these things that are this sort of city emerging, this magical city emerging from the ground. It's a real gift to us that we have this moment, and I always think it's like the world holds its breath. And you go in there and there's no one there. It's an amazingly exciting moment when you see all of that.
And then I said, and now I'd like to introduce on stage a man who has influenced my singing like no other. It's my father. And he got a massive round of applause and he was so, so happy. He was buzzing off that for days.
From the first time I went in 2005 and then at the new site in 2006, I just knew I loved this part of the world and I moved here last year. So the Green Man made me move house. You know, what else can you have, really?
It's just the best festival. It's the best one in terms of the lineup. It's really well curated and I think that attracts the right sort of people.
Every August for the past 6 years, I've made the journey to the Brecon Beacons in South Wales for one of my favourite weekends of the year. I've been to many festivals, but there's only a handful that I regularly return to, and Green Man is one of them. It takes place in the rolling hills of the Black Mountains near the small town of Crick Howell, but that's not where the festival began. It was started by Joe and Danny Hagen in 2003, who a few years later sold their shares in the festival to Fiona Stewart, who now runs it with her son Ben Coleman. Between them, they've turned a day of music with a 300-strong crowd into a full-blown arts and music festival with around 20,000 punters over the weekend. Music writer Jude Rogers remembers the early days of Green Man.
2005 was my first Green Man, which was the second year it was in the Baskerville Hall site in Clyro, a couple of miles from Hay-on-Wye. I think it was about 5,000 capacity, or maybe a little bit less than that, actually. And I just remember driving into the site and there was this one field with tents and imagining that might be a part of the campsite, but that was it. It was tiny, but it was absolutely wonderful. It was so small that the artists and the punters were camping together, so we had King Creosote in a van about 20 feet away. I remember queuing for a hot dog with friends behind Bonnie Prince Billy and Joanna Newsom. It was wonderful, and it was in this beautiful Brecon Beacon site, and obviously that's something that stayed because the festival obviously moved to a bigger site the year after that. It was just the setting and the music and the feel about it was very special and quite different to festivals I was going to at that time.
With growing interest, Green Man needed a new location. Managing director Fiona Stewart tells us about the moment she found the perfect place for their expanding festival, the Glanisk Estate.
We ran the festival in the Brecon Beacons National Park, and we first went to the site. Literally, it was a farm with a bungalow in the middle of it with a big back garden. And we got driven around by the owner at 100 miles an hour around this estate. Anyway, we drove around and it was one of those classic things that they drove us through this beautiful, used to be a deer park that was there. It was amazing. And we looked up and you could see the Black Mountain. I mean, it was just amazing, full of sheep. I mean, it was a farm. And then as we went round, I said, oh, we'll meet up in this car park near the house. And I don't know, there isn't a big estate, a big country pile there. There is this kind of bungalow that's in the middle of it. Anyway, Jovi was like, stop the car. And we got out, literally fell out of the car. Fell out of the car and looked and suddenly realised, and we were in this back garden of this house, and we suddenly looked at it and realised that if we actually developed it, we could create it into an amphitheatre. So it literally was from the ground up. There was nothing there. And bless them, the people there I think they thought we were mad, but we moved all this earth and dug all these things out and got it together. And the amphitheatre that you see the mountain stage in, which is one of the most fantastic things, that's what it was. It was an elderly lady's, retired lady's garden that we took over and moved it into what it is now.
Aside from the festival's beautiful and dramatic location, what makes Green Man so great is, of course, the music lineup. This year saw Future Islands, Ryan Adams and PJ Harvey lead a fantastic bill that spanned from pop to punk during the day and dub to dance at night. And it's not just the big names at the top of the list who sell the tickets, it's the artists who return year after year to play the festival. James Yorkston and Pictish Trail both belong to the Fence Collective, a group of musicians who worked on Scottish indie label Fence Records. They've been integral to the festival's lineup since day one, as Ben Coleman tells us. The more time it's been
alone. James is such an incredible musician, and you know, the Fence Collective, he was part of starting that up with the likes of King Creosote and the Beta Band, the Aliens, and you know, they've just been such a big part of the festival and how it's grown over the years, and played so many different times and with different bands and different people and different collaborations. And you know, the festival without him, it's just, I think every year, every time I start the booking process, it's very much like, oh, James, you know, what's he up to this year? So I think all of these factors go hand in hand into making it a pretty, you know, pretty special relationship. He also completely kind of introduced me to this world of his rustic folk and traditional song, and singing the songs of the likes of Anne Briggs, and you know, supporting John Martin and introducing me increasingly to this finger picking technique, which I've grown to really love with, you know, booking the festival.
My name is James Yorkston. I'm a singer-songwriter from the East Nooka Fife. First of a festival was obviously I didn't know the guys, I didn't know Joe and Danny, but they got in touch and offered me £800 to play a festival. So I thought, yeah, of course, I'll come and do that. And then I didn't hear anything else about it until 3 weeks before, when they got in touch and said, we can only pay you £400. And I said, oh, well, that sounds all right to me still. You know, it's still a decent amount of money just to sing some songs with the guitar. So we drove down to South or Mid Wales. I can't even remember where I was back then. And it was this one-off day event. I think it started at 12 and ended at 10 or something. It was a really short thing. I mean, it definitely took us longer driving there than it did the actual event itself. But there was a lovely vibe. I'm in fields almost all summer doing festivals. And this is the only one that I choose to stay at. You know, I bring the family down and I hang around for the whole weekend and I catch up with friends. And it feels like home for me, even though it's very different from the original.
What do you think it is about this festival that keeps people coming back? What is it that makes you want to bring your family here and stay here?
Well, it's very, very relaxed. It's very small and compact. Even though it's at 20,000 people, it's compact. You know, you can get from one side of the site in less than 10 minutes. So far, the last few years, the weather's always been good, but the music's always good. You know, they always have interesting people playing, like Sleaford Mods are playing this evening, I'm looking forward to. Julian Cope, Kate Tempest played, John Hopkins played. So there's always interesting things musically going on. But there's just, I think it grew up as such a small thing, and its initial reputation was as a friendly, amazing festival, that the people it's attracted have been friendly, amazing people who want to go to a friendly, amazing festival. If the first one had been really hedonistic and drug-addled and violent, then the next year would have been hedonistic and drug-addled and violent, and it would have built up into this crazy kind of mosh pit of violence, which, you know, could be pretty good. But it wasn't like that. It's grown up as a sort of a family-friendly thing, but it's been natural. The way it's happened has been very natural. So that's why that's why it's happened like this, I guess.
You've played here so many times, you must have covered most of the stages. Do you have a preferred place, or do you have a maybe favourite time that you've played here?
Well, the stages have totally changed throughout the years. I mean, the first stage was just the living room of somebody's house. And then the second stage was sort of the back room of a bar. So they've kind of changed. I guess my favourite shows, there'd be two which spring to mind. One was when I was playing with my band, James Yorkson and the Athletes, and immediately afterwards, Fortet was playing. And I was great friends with Fortet, and we decided beforehand that he should do a remix of our set whilst we were playing. So we hooked up all the microphones to the drum kit and to the accordion and to the double bass. And then halfway through our final song, which was a bit of a wig out, he started sampling it. He just walked on stage totally unannounced and started sampling it and turned it into this sort of Ibiza rave thing, which was and it was extraordinary. And it went on for about 25 minutes, and it was one of my favourite musical memories. And the other one would be when my father joined me on stage. I had my band, I had a six-piece band, and I went through them all and I introduced them. And there was about 3,000 people. It was in one of the tents, so there was about 3,000-4,000 people. And then I said, and now I'd like to introduce on stage a man who's influenced my singing like no other. It's my father. And he got a massive round of applause, and he was so, so happy. He was buzzing off that for days. So those two were probably the top for me.
When you keep playing the same festival over and over again, I mean, I know it's changed a lot, how do you sort of reimagine your set each time?
Well, a lot of it is very natural because of whatever project I'm doing. So at the moment, I'm doing Yorkson Thong Khan. So that's just three of us, or four if we have a backing vocalist. So I can't really change around that too much. But yeah, what I do, I mean, it sounds daft saying it, but a lot of it comes down to the fee. If I get enough money that I can afford to pay a big band to come with me, then I'll bring a big band and we'll have a rehearsal and we'll do something fun. But if the fee isn't so good that year for whatever reason, it's very tempting just to do it solo and come home with some money in my pocket, you know? But obviously, you don't want to do the same thing year after year after year. You don't want it to be dull. You don't want to throw these moments away. As a musician, you live to play gigs, and a festival like Green Man is one of the best gigs there is, so you don't want to throw it away. So, of course, there's forethought.
If the budget was unlimited, would you have a dream project that you could do here?
If the budget was unlimited, I'd do a solo slot and pocket the money. No, I mean, I don't know. If the budget was unlimited, I would play around with some fancy things. I'm not quite sure, but I'd probably try something with a brass band. I love the sound of brass, and I always thought that that could sound extraordinary. I love the sound of Uilleann pipes and the Irish pipes, and there's always been a thing for me, a correlation between krautrock and the Uilleann pipes and traffic jams, and I figured if I had some kind of brass ensemble to play with me, then I could make that happen, you know?
And the fields where we have chased and rolled down delirious.
You know, it's great to see James Yorkston playing there with his newer kind of project, Yorkson Thorn Khan, who are fantastic on Saturday night. Pictish Trail, who was once in the Fence Collective, who were a big part of the early days of the Green Man. Yes. He opened the main stage on Saturday. So yeah, there's those links with the past, people who keep being asked back. But importantly, they keep coming back, you know, and they obviously have so much affection for the festival still, even though it has changed and it's definitely not a folk festival now. It's really broadened in terms of its different genres, which, you know, some people like, some people don't like, but it's obviously attracting a much wider range of people and selling out, you know, a couple of months before. You know, that's really impressive these days. Running a festival is actually more difficult now than ever before, I think.
Hello there, I am Pictish Trail and I'm here at Green Man Festival 2017.
This certainly isn't your first Green Man Festival, is it?
It certainly isn't. You've done your research. Now, I first came to this festival in 2003 and I've somehow managed to wangle my way in every single year. So I've done all 15. I've performed in some shape or form at every single one.
And what is it about this festival that keeps you coming back, apart from obviously being asked back?
Yeah, being asked does help. It's just the best festival. It's the best one in terms of the lineup. It's really well curated, and I think that attracts the right sort of people. So it means that the people who are here are all really great. Everyone is very friendly. It's relaxed, you know, the security isn't overbearing, which it can be at other festivals, and no one feels on edge. And they've got a really great late night programme that kind of matches their daytime stuff. A lot of other festivals close shop at 11:30 and expect everyone to go back to their tent for prayers, whereas this place has got a bit of nastiness going on, which is great. It's good, it feels really, truly liberating. It's like a really... And it's retained its independent spirit, even though it's grown, you know, by... It's like nearly 20,000 now or something like that. And for a festival to be able to hold on to its identity and expand is it's a no mean feat. And they've really managed it here. And I think it's down to the fact that they are very selective about the lineup. They make sure everything fits together. I mean, it's no small coincidence that I've been invited every year.
And just finally, do you have a sort of a favourite fun Green Man memory?
Oh, there's so many. What is my favourite? Every year it's really nice to see friends that I've made specifically at Green Man, and you always bump into them, you're like, oh, it's you again, and you always have a great night with them. One of my favourite nights was when Kieran Hebden was playing as Fortet. He was headlining one of the nights, it might have been in the Baskerville Hall days, and afterwards we were dancing to his set and his mum was in the audience, and I was dancing with Fortet's mum and Beth Orton, and he's one of my heroes. Beth Orton is one of my absolute heroes, and it was kind of nice being in a place where you could be up close and personal with people who've made a real impact in your life. And that's what's quite good about here, is that a lot of the artists stay for the weekend and they hang out, and you get to meet people who are playing. The divide between the audience and the art and the acts isn't as marked as it is in other places. Yes.
And who's the better dancer, Beth Orton or Fortet's mum?
I'm trying to think now. Beth Orton did put in a good few moves, but man, Fortet's mum was like, she was like spinning on the floor, man. It's amazing. It's a very muddy festival that year as well. It was cool.
Just as important as the musicians, though, are the fans. And there's no bigger fan than Geoffrey Johns. Anyone who's ever been to a good UK or European festival will know who he is. Geoffrey Johns, or Big Jeff as he's better known, is found at the front of any good gig. He's a tall, friendly man who embodies what music fandom should be. He loves watching music, listening to music, finding new music, and will talk music with anyone around him. He isn't pretentious about it. He just really loves music. Having Big Jeff at your gig is a badge of honour, and you can count on him for excellent recommendations. He's easy to spot. Look for the head-banging mop of blonde hair at the barrier and an arm smothered in dozens of wristbands. Jeff's been returning to Green Man for a while now, and this year they even asked him to DJ.
I think a really good live act is someone who basically performs with emotion. Whether it's like a kind of a guitar band or like a kind of a singer-songwriter, it's got to ultimately come from here. And it's got to, sometimes it depends on sometimes on the genre of music sort of thing. Like some things will be like about pushing the senses or like making you sometimes experience things in a different way, whether they're things that you want to experience on different sensory levels sometimes, or sometimes it's just about having fun. Seeing someone on the stage, even if they could barely play two or three chords, but looking like it's like meaning the world, and they're looking pleased to see people.
You've been asked to DJ at this year's festival. What do you have up your sleeve for your DJ set today?
All sorts of weirdness. I can guarantee there'll be stuff which no one's ever heard of before or probably ever hear since. I'm going to be intrigued to see what people's reactions are going to be honest.
And this weekend, who for you has had the best performance so far?
I think for me, I really, really, really enjoyed Lift to Experience. I thought they were phenomenal on Friday night, just the sound that they created. And also the thing is, though, their singer actually didn't tell them that they would be playing on the main stage to 25,000 people until actually when they got there. Because of like, they feared that the other two guys in Lift to Experience would freak out and would actually be genuinely terrified because they've only ever done one album. They were fantastic. It was just like, it was such a solid, really intense performance. But yeah, I think that they looked really genuinely taken back by the fact that they had so many people there to watch them.
But of course, festivals aren't just about the music. Comedy and literature play a big part too. And at Green Man, these are well-curated lineups that give the music a run for its money. This year, the Babbling Tongue stage played host to everyone from folk legend Shirley Collins to Trainspotting writer Irvin Welsh. Topics on the agenda roamed from record shops to the housing crisis, and writer Nikesh Shukla was there to talk about race.
Hello. Green Man, festival. Festival of Green Man, the men who are green.
Nikesh Shukla is the editor of The Good Immigrant, a timely collection of essays about living in the UK by people of colour. It's been a big hit since it was released last September and has sparked some much-needed discussion on the matter. Shukla had been eyeing up Green Man as a dream place to perform one day, but didn't think his show would be quite like this.
I was just on stage at the Talking Shop talking to Anita Sethi about the book I put out recently called The Good Immigrant and about race and immigration and the importance of representation in popular culture.
Green Man Festival's turned 15 years old this year. 15 years ago, did you think that in 15 years' time you might be on stage in a Welsh field talking about this?
You know, what's really funny is, like, I'd had a list of places that I wanted to do gigs at. So, like, 15 years ago, I think I was still under the delusion that I was going to be a really famous musician, and I hadn't, like, turned my full attention to writing just yet. And Green Man was one of the places. There was Green Man, and there was Glastonbury, and there was Latitude, and there was Jules Holland, and I've done all of them except Jules Holland. So, like, I just need to get on Jules Holland now. So, yeah, it's amazing to actually be here now, but actually be here for something other than really, really bad rapping, which is what I was doing 15 years ago.
Or maybe you could rap one of the essays in your book and that could be the lead to Jules Holland.
Hi, my name's Nikesh and I'm here to say I'm going to talk books in a rapping way. No, see, no, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Obviously, like, music festivals have come on leaps and bounds in the last 15 years and it's not just about music anymore. You have comedians, you have talks like yours. Do you think that festivals are a good place for this sort of discussion?
Yeah, I'm always, do you know what, like, I'm always surprised at, like, how amazing the crowds are at festivals for things like stand-up and for literature and poetry. Probably because, like, if I went to a music festival, I'd probably just go to see the music. But, like, the programming is so good. Like, you've got some of the best bands in the world against some of the best authors and me. You know, I wasn't for a second being unhumble. Green Man and Latitude, like, I think a lot of it is down to the curation. Like, they have curators who care about this stuff as much as they do at, like, the more literature specific festivals at, like, Cheltenham and Edinburgh Book Festival and all the others. Like, they all really care. And what's amazing is, like, the authors see these stages as just as important as those ones as well. And what's nice is, like, I've just had a signing queue that was, like, half an hour long, maybe a bit longer, and like loads of those people were people who were completely new to the work, and like they bought books, and like who's got an extra £9 that to, like, that's one pint at a festival. So like that's amazing that like there's like 50 new fans or 50 new readers in the festival audience. That's really cool.
Well, I guess you get quite an intelligent bunch here at Green Man. They probably realise they're going to get more out of £9 on a book than £9 on a pint.
Very true. But sometimes that pint is really delicious.
Especially here, there's a lot of good pints to choose from here. And then in that queue, you know, there were people from all different backgrounds, people of colour, people aged like 7 to 70. What sort of reactions were you getting? There were lots of people coming over to have a chat with you. You know, what were people saying to you about the discussion today?
I think what I always find really important about my own work is just to be as approachable as possible to as many people as possible. So, like, people feel like they can come up to me. Sometimes they say some really problematic things, like, where are you from? No, no, where are you really from? No, 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 where are you really from? No, 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 where are your parents from? No, you're basically foreign, aren't you? Which is how that conversation goes. Or people who have really, like, thoughtful things that they want to say about the book or the work, or, like, sometimes they just want to share their story with you. And, like, I think one of the best reactions that I had never really counted for when I first set out to be a writer was the opportunity to have people share their own stories back with you. It's so powerful and it's so amazing, and it shows that you're making a difference.
Historically, music festivals, not many music festivals, come from a kind of like political imperative, you know, trying to put something on for the counterculture of the arts, music, debate. I think people go to festivals, yes, to be entertained, but also to learn about new music, new ideas. That's one of the trends in festival going over the last 10 to 15 years. You know, there's other festivals like Latitude, obviously, who have pushed that side of things. But, you know, those are the festivals that are going to succeed, putting things on that might challenge you, might... You're not necessarily going to go and see debate about the housing crisis by itself in, you know, a venue near where you live, but as part of a festival, you might do.
Green Man's attention to detail on every stage and ability to get people interested in new music and ideas is exactly what makes it stand out. The festival market has become vastly saturated over the past decade, and it feels like it's starting to implode. Long-standing events are shutting up shop, and over the next few years, I expect more will follow suit. Green Man's successes are in its location, its ability to programme the perfect day-to-night lineup, and to have something to talk about over a fresh Welsh pint. But it's also about the people who go there. Good people attract good people, and there are plenty of great people milling around here. Making your event about more than just music is the tonic needed to keep a festival at the top of the bill. So here's to the next 15 years, Green Man.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. You've been listening to Culture. My producer was, of course, the fantastic and the home and dry, Holly Fisher. I've been Robert Bound. Join us at the same time next week. But for now, thanks for tuning in.